a real struggle for young people that come from broken families is that we have a hard time discerning our relationships and our calling in life because we feel so anxious and uncertain about so many things. And it's not a topic that's really discussed much, unfortunately, but we've seen a clear trend in the people that we work with, the people that we serve through Restored. Basically, the trauma of our broken family and the effects that stem from it interfere often with our ability to discern properly. And so we're going to dive into that. We'll explain what we mean in this episode. And we're going to talk about things like why a lack of peace doesn't automatically mean that your relationship or your vocation isn't meant to be. We'll also discuss how to discern how to make good decisions if you feel anxious or uncertain. And then we'll touch on how our desire as people who come from broken families for 100% certainty often prevents us from living the life that we were meant to live. We also share some personal stories about how Miranda and I have struggled with this and what we've done about it. Also, you're going to get a sneak preview of our brand new book and how you can get the book and a special offer too, so keep listening. Welcome to the Restored Podcast, helping you heal and grow from the trauma of your parents' divorce, separation, or broken marriage so you can feel whole again. I'm your host, Joey Ponarelli. Thank you so much for listening. This is episode 53. Like I've mentioned, I've written a book for you, and I'm so excited to share it with you. The sad truth is that most teenagers and young adults who come from broken families are traumatized by their parents' divorce or separation, but nobody gives them the guidance that they need to navigate the pain and the problems. And without that guidance, they continue to struggle in serious ways with emotional problems, unhealthy coping, relationship struggles, and so much more. And I've experienced this firsthand. I know this problem, and it shouldn't be this way. My new book is an answer to that problem. The title is It's Not Your Fault, A Practical Guide to Navigating the Pain and Problems from Your Parents' Divorce. And it features 33 questions and answers on the most pressing challenges faced by people like us from broken families. And some of the questions we touch on in the book are, I struggle with low self-esteem. How can I become more confident? After my family broke apart, I felt abandoned, unwanted, inadequate, and even rejected. Is something wrong with me? Self-harm is my way of coping. How do I stop? How do I avoid repeating my parents' mistakes and build a healthy marriage? I feel broken, like something is wrong with me. How could I heal and feel whole again? What can I do to heal my relationship with my parents? Why does God let bad things like my parents' divorce happen? And if you read the book and if you implement the advice into your life, you're going to learn how to cope with your pain in healthy ways instead of unhealthy ways. You're just going to become a better, stronger, and more virtuous person. You'll learn to overcome the emotional problems that you face. You'll be given tactics on how to build healthy relationships. You'll find some evidence-based strategies that you can use to actually heal. These are not complicated, they're simple. You'll learn how to navigate your relationship with your parents. You'll improve your relationship with God. You make better decisions that build a better future for yourself. And most importantly, you're going to be given the tools and resources you need to get the help that you need. And this isn't theory, guys. This is down-to-earth, common sense advice based on research, expert advice, and stories that we've heard from people like you, people who come from broken families. And so this book is really for anyone who comes from a broken home, especially teenagers and young adults whose parents are divorced, separated, or just really struggling in their marriage. And if that's not you, my bet would be that you know someone, you love someone, you lead someone who comes from a broken family. Maybe that's your kids, a cousin, boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever. Or perhaps you lead people like that. Maybe you're a pastor, a youth minister, a teacher, a coach. In that case, you could use the book to really understand people who come from broken families and offer them a resource that will help them navigate the pain and the problems that they face. The book comes out on September 21st, 2021. And if you're listening before that date, you can get the first chapters free on our website. I'll tell you how to do that in a second. If you're listening after that date, you can just buy the book on Amazon, or you can still get the first chapters for free. To get those free chapters, it's really easy. Just go to restoredministry.com/books. Again, Restored Ministry, ministryissingular.com/books. You can click the button on that page to get the free chapters. And then you're just going to fill out your name, email, and we'll send you those free chapters. Again, just go to restoredministry.com/books. Plus, if you order the paperback in September 2021, we're going to give you the ebook and the audiobook for free. And so hop on that. I'm so excited to share this book with you. We've been working on it for months, and the feedback we've gotten from people who've seen an advanced copy has been solid. So I'm really excited. I know this is going to help you. And so if you want to get those free chapters, you can do that today at restoredministry.com/books. One side note, this version is specifically written for Catholic teens and young adults. We've just noticed that the majority of our audience comes from that demographic. And so if you're not Catholic or you're not a teen and young adult, is it still useful for you? The answer is absolutely yes. We've heard again and again how helpful our content is for everyone above that age range as well. And if you aren't religious, you can just skip the parts in the book that don't align with your beliefs. It's still going to be helpful for you too. And in this episode, you're going to hear part of the audiobook, and then my editor, Miranda, and I discuss the content. We add some stories and give some more advice. And I do apologize that you're going to hear some technical glitches. We really try to produce a high quality show, but sometimes it's unavoidable that we hit some technical glitches. So I'm very sorry about that. Thanks for your patience. So here's a portion of the audiobook from our new book, It's Not Your Fault. Question 31. How can I discern my calling in life when I feel so anxious and uncertain? When it comes to discerning your vocation or a relationship, you may have been told that you'll know it's the right decision if you feel at peace about it. Any uneasiness is a sign that it's not meant to be. Along those lines, one writer offered this question as a sign that a relationship is not meant to be. Quote, do you feel anxiety when you think of marrying them? End quote. But that advice is only half true. A lack of peace could very well mean that this person or vocation isn't for you. But for most people, especially from broken families, it usually requires more digging. In other words, a lack of peace is an important indication that something is happening that is worthy of attention, but it doesn't automatically mean you're pursuing the wrong vocation or dating the wrong person. In college, I dated a great girl. However, I felt an incredible amount of fear, anxiety, and an overall lack of peace from the beginning of our relationship. It was so overwhelming that I almost interpreted it as a sign that it wasn't meant to be. Thankfully, I dug deeper and realized I was dealing with depression and relationship anxiety. For 3 months of our relationship, I felt extremely numb and anxious. I could barely think straight. An argument could be made that I shouldn't have been dating at all, and we did take a break during that time. But had I run at the first sign of a lack of peace, I would have missed out on a beautiful relationship. The source of my lack of peace was not the vocation of marriage or the woman I dated. It was my fear and anxiety about love, relationships, and intimacy. I was terrified of repeating what I saw in my parents' marriage. I was afraid of opening up about my past and my current struggles. That fear and anxiety interfered with my ability to discern clearly. It blinded me. I felt unable to discern properly. This pattern repeated in most of my relationships, though it got less intense the more I grew. Another cause for my anxiety was my desire for 100% certainty in my decision to date the girl I was with. I wanted a sign from heaven. I had to learn the hard way that God doesn't usually make it super obvious what we should do. It would be nice, wouldn't it? Afraid of making the wrong decision, afraid of failing in the relationship, afraid of repeating my parents' mistakes, I felt so uncertain that I didn't want to decide. It was too dangerous, I thought. Even after I finally made a decision, I second-guessed myself because I struggled with self-confidence. The first thing that helped me was to identify that fear and anxiety were at the core of my lack of peace. Therefore, I didn't need to freak out that the relationship wasn't meant to be. Once I knew that, I could start working through my fear and anxiety so I could see more clearly. Whenever I felt that anxiety, I learned to be patient with myself instead of immediately doubting my relationship or vocation. So if you have a similar experience of overwhelming fear and anxiety in a relationship, make sure to question the root of your anxiety. Is it the relationship? Is it this particular vocation? Do you struggle with anxiety? Past wounds? Identify the root of the fear and anxiety that you are experiencing. For people like us, it's often not the external circumstance that is causing it, for example, the relationship or the person you are dating, but it is rather a reaction to past wounds that are being triggered. Don't isolate yourself. Involve older, wiser people who can give you advice and guide you. Share your experience and discernment with people you trust, especially people whose opinion you value. Get their thoughts on whether you and your significant other are a good fit or not. That vulnerability will help you much more than keeping everything secret. That helped me, especially when I couldn't see clearly because of my emotions. So receive the love of others during this time, especially from mentors. This will help you make a better decision and feel confident in that decision. The affirmation and love of a mentor gave me the confidence I needed to pursue my wife. Beware of your tendency to be a people pleaser. It won't serve you well when making big decisions. In fact, it will harm you since you might be more interested in making someone happy than in finding what you're called to do with your life. Naturally, make sure you are praying. It helps to calm your heart, mind, and soul. But more importantly, it helps you connect with God. His opinion and guidance are more important than anyone else's. He knows you better than you know yourself, so get his input too. Lastly, do your best not to stress about your vocation. Keep your desire to do the right thing and to follow God's will at the center. A pure heart and action will lead you down the right path. When you begin to feel stressed or anxious about your vocation, try praying this prayer. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that my desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, will I trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. For more guidance on discerning your vocation by Father Stephen Wang's book, How to Discern Your Vocation, you can also download it for free with the bonus material. Another helpful resource is Father Timothy Gallagher's book, Discerning the Will of God, which is based on the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Miranda, can you relate to anything in the content in the book? Like, was this a struggle for you as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that overwhelming sense of anxiety hit me so many times. I mean, yeah, it was pretty much a constant battle for me in my dating life, especially. I remember, I don't know who it was, if it was some in church or if it was something I read outside or just someone's advice, but I do remember that moment when, you know, someone said there should be peace regarding dating, and I was like, crap.
It's like, well, and I'm never going to get married then.
Yeah, it's like, oh, shoot. And, you know, to be fair, I do think that, you know, obviously the first few relationships weren't meant to be. Mm-hmm. However, that doesn't mean that they weren't supposed to happen. I think we talk about this at some point in the book and in other material, but, you know, anxiety pushes people away, or it can push people away. And especially in relationships, it kind of causes us to, or it can cause us to either withdraw from people or to cling to them. And so either way, you end up kind of creating space from the other person. So and then it causes this kind of vicious cycle in a way. You feel the other person pulling away, or you feel yourself pushing them away, which then causes more anxiety, et cetera, et cetera. And so I remember with my husband, like one of the things that I perpetually had for the first few months of our relationship, which we didn't date that long, but definitely for a fair amount of time, I would always have a stomach ache leading up to us hanging out or during at least like the first half, you know, the beginning that we were together. Mm-hmm. And so that I realized in therapy, you know, she kind of helped me see that that was actually a trauma response, and that I was reacting to kind of my past experiences with men, the distrust that I had of them because of a lot of what happened with my parents and their separation, mm-hmm. and the woundedness that was there that existed. And so it was really hard for me to let that go, like to not let that be a, like a sign, I guess, of like, this isn't meant to be, because I feel uneasiness, like even physically, I just feel like almost ill, you know, because of the anxiety. So, and you know, he is my husband. So obviously like it was good for me to be with him. It was good that we were dating, but nevertheless, there was anxiety. So if I had, you know, maybe taken to heart someone's advice of like, yeah, if you're experiencing some anxiety, like maybe that's not the right relationship. And I remember doubting a whole lot. And it was actually a lot of my close friends and family that encouraged me in the relationship and said, you know, maybe this anxiety is kind of unfounded. And along with my therapist too, she kind of helped me work through that. So I absolutely can identify with what you were talking about in here.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I wish people would talk about this more often. I feel like there's a huge misunderstanding when it comes to, you know, figuring out your calling in life, figuring out who you're supposed to be with, if you're supposed to get married, all that. And I think people would really benefit from having conversations like these more, because the advice about peace, like we mentioned in the book, is good advice, but it's kind of half true. Like, there should ultimately be a level of peace, but that doesn't mean that there's not going to be some sort of interference based on our past wounds and all the different things that we mentioned in the book. So I think it is really important to keep that in mind. And I relate so much with your experience. Like I mentioned in the book, there was a relationship. I mean, pretty much every relationship I've been in has had some level of anxiety where I thought maybe it was meant to be because of that. Like I said, it got better as I went on. But this one relationship early on in college, it was just so intense. It was miserable at times because my emotions were just all over the place. And I was trying, again, to make the right decision. I was like, am I meant to be with this girl or not? Am I meant to, you know, be married or maybe pursue a different vocation? And it just caused so much anxiety. And I just felt so lost at the end of the day, especially when it just came to any sort of discernment. And you did better than I did in the sense that you knew to take this to people, which is awesome. I mean, maybe you didn't right away. You can elaborate on that. But I just held this in, Miranda. Like, I didn't talk to anyone about it. I didn't tell the girl I was dating. I didn't tell really many other people in my life. I just thought, you know what? Something's like wrong with me for feeling this. Like, everyone who talks about dating or their relationship, they'll say things like, well, it just felt so natural. And it was just, we just knew it was meant to be. It was love at first sight. I'm like, I've never experienced that. Is something wrong with me? And so I literally did think something was perhaps wrong with me. But there was peace eventually when I was able to basically stop forcing myself to feel a certain way or thinking that there was something wrong with me for feeling a certain way, but really just like letting myself feel whatever I was feeling and didn't fight them. I just let myself feel what I was feeling. I remember I had dinner with the girl I was dating and her family. It was New Year's Eve. It was an awesome, awesome dinner. We had a great time. And I remember after that, we were just sitting around a fire. And for some reason, that whole experience and just the idea that, okay, I can just feel whatever I'm feeling. I don't need to dictate it or manipulate it or manufacture it. That really, really helped me find peace and ultimately help that relationship grow.
I think one of the huge misfortunes of this anxiety is that it robs you of something that should be enjoyable, that should be fun, that we should learn and grow from. And I think, like you know, you were saying with this anxiety, like other people are talking about the joy and the delight and yeah, just like all the goodness that there is getting to know another person and growing with them and, you know, just all the dating relationships can show us and, you know, just enjoying that time. Mm-hmm. Anxiety can kind of, it steals that, you know, can steal that from us. It's not cool, bro. You know, like it's not should not be that way. And definitely wish that I had enjoyed the dating relationships because, you know, I'm very blessed. Yeah. Like, I can say that the guys that I dated were phenomenal. Looking back, it's like, man, I wish that I had just enjoyed that more and not let the anxiety cripple me so much. And even looking at my dating relationship with my husband, I wish that I had not questioned the process so much because I think it tainted an otherwise, you know, beautiful, wonderful season. It's good that, you know, after that initial relationship in college, you kind of were able to come around and grow out of it almost, at least a little to a degree. But I think for people like us, man, it can be a huge struggle.
Totally. Yeah. So much uncertainty, like you said. And I think it is a real struggle for that people like us are more, you know, likely to fall into. And perhaps people listening right now didn't have this experience. But I would say the majority of people that we've worked with through Restored and friends of mine, people I know who come from broken families, there's a lot of issues when it comes to dating and relationships. And that's just a theme overall that we've seen. But yeah, so many good points that you made. And I love what, you know, you had people in your life kind of giving you feedback saying that your doubt was unfounded in certain situations, which is, I think it's so freeing. I think one of the things that's needed is having people really keep you grounded and say like, well, you're not actually being objective about this. You're actually maybe letting your emotions guide you here and make you think that something is a bigger deal than it actually is, or maybe even think that something is a problem when it's not even there to begin with. So I think it's good to, you know, keep that in mind and to have people speaking into it. But I'm curious to get your input on something. I remember just wanting so badly to like tell the girl I was dating, you know, at the beginning of college. It was like end of high school, beginning of college, to be accurate. But I remember just like feeling like I couldn't. I felt like she wouldn't really understand where I was coming from because I didn't really understand what was going on myself. I didn't put my finger on until later that I was dealing with, you know, anxiety and depression and just like overall numbness. And so it was difficult to even share that with anyone because I didn't have the words to tell them, describe what I was going through. So that was a kind of its own cross in a very real way. But I'm just curious, do you think it's helpful for people in this situation to explain their anxiety and their concerns to the person they're dating? Or should there be some level of like filtering going on? Because in my relationships later on, I learned that there needed to be a balance. Because if I was just opening up all the time about all these feelings I was having, the anxiety that I was experiencing, then that would actually make things worse in the relationship. Kind of like you said, it would cause that person to doubt too. That would make me more anxious and perhaps them anxious and just cause all sorts of issues, which are the opposite of peace. So anyway, I'm just curious what you think, if there should be some level of vulnerability there or if there should be some filtering. And the last thing I was just say before I let you jump in, I was talking to other people about it eventually. Eventually, I did have mentors or friends in my life who I couldn't talk to about. So I think you have to talk to someone. I'm just not sure if it's appropriate to talk, at least without any filter, to the person you're dating. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. I definitely can say my instinct was always to withhold, but I do think that was to a fault. I was very blessed to have an incredible therapist. I would spill it all unfiltered to her, and she would give me feedback. And one of the things she did encourage me to do a lot was actually open up to him more about it. And so, you know, it could be that my nature is to hold back. So I was probably on one end of the spectrum and she was helping me nudge me a little bit more towards the kind of happy medium, which was definitely very uncomfortable for me. But I will say, I think it was helpful. I mean, and I think it's one of those things too, like you're saying, like it needs to be moderated, you know, especially like, I would say at the beginning of a relationship, you probably will have a lot of, you know, you might have a lot of anxiety because of all the things that go with dating and the uncertainty. And, you know, it's also excitement, which can feel like anxiety, which is really confusing. But, you know, so maybe at the beginning of a relationship, you do want to have more of a filter, I guess, and kind of moderate what you open up about. However, I think the longer you're together, you know, the more it is kind of a continual unveiling of each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there should be a level of comfort with revealing that, you know, wound and to in various degrees. And I would say, like you said, you know, you said you talked to other people. And I think if you're able to talk to other people first about what you're going through, I think that's the ideal. People you trust, people who maybe have been in a similar situation, experience similar challenges. I think if you are able to communicate with them first and then let them give you feedback about, yeah, you know, it might be good to bring this up with them, or, you know, maybe just hold off a little, you know, so to get some feedback before going to your significant other, I think is really helpful. And I like, thankfully did have that guidance, which served me well. But I do think it opened the door, sharing what I did with, at least with Steven, like it opened the door for him to love me better. You know, like he was able to understand me at a deeper level, something that was totally, totally unknown to him, that he just had a very different background, very different experience growing up and things. So it did open the door for us to grow closer together, to understand each other better, and for him to love me in a way that I was even better able to receive.
Okay. No, that makes sense. And I would totally agree with that. I should have clarified before. I don't think you should completely like withhold this experience. I just think, like you said, there needs to be some moderation. Ideally, you're taking it to other people first. And the main reason I was saying that is I think it's important to let your emotions grow and develop, because sometimes there can be a tendency, if you like feel any bit of anxiety, kind of going off the whole idea is that there should be peace. And so the first sense of anxiety or lack of peace, we might have this tendency to be like, oh, I need to talk to them. I need to tell them about this. Where I think there needs to be a little bit of space there, like you were saying, where it's like, well, let me see where this goes. I don't need to act on it right away. And I remember in another relationship in college, having a similar experience. It was probably about 6 months into the relationship. There had been anxiety, you know, at different points, but there was especially a point where I would just kind of questioned it and thought like, oh gosh, maybe this isn't meant to be. And my tendency was to, you know, kind of rush and bring that to the other person. But then I realized, you know, maybe I should just sit on this a little bit, you know, think about it, pray about it, talk with people who can guide me, and then I'll approach them. And that's kind of what I was getting at before. I think it is wise to use that sort of a filter, not where you never share anything and you're not vulnerable to the person, because that's unhealthy. That's not good. But to the point where you're not just saying everything and anything that comes on your mind or your heart, anything that you're feeling. So definitely a balance. And I think what you said, the starting point really is to understand your tendencies. If your tendency is more to be maybe overly open with someone, then maybe you need to pull it back a little bit more. But like you said, Miranda, if your tendency is to be more closed off, which that was me too, then perhaps we are the people who need to share a little bit more than maybe we feel ready to share. So I think there is that that balance, but I think there is value in letting your emotions like develop and grow, and not just thinking that one evening I felt that one thing and therefore I need to have a serious conversation with this person.
Yeah, I definitely think there should be a level of discerning before, you know, necessarily like not to overthink it to death, but definitely letting things settle a little bit before you bring it to the other person. But I remember something that was super helpful that I did share with him pretty early on was my tendency to spiral, for him to say or do something that would send my alarm bells going off, and I would withdraw and I would just shut down. Mm-hmm. And when I was able to like tell him that that was something that I experienced, he was able to then identify times when that was happening and it just, or at least just ask me, are you spiraling right now? You know, and then it helped so much to bring me out of it for him to like have access to that. So I mean, and I don't know how early that was, and you know, might have been later in the relationship than I'm remembering. But when you let in, you know, the other person a little bit, little by little, to where you struggle in relationships, like it allows the other person to help carry that with you and to, yeah, love you in a way that is healing.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I really wish, looking back to that relationship I mentioned in the book, late high school, early college, I really wish I would have been more vulnerable with her. I think it would have helped a ton. And that was one of the things that ultimately did help the relationship to become better, healthier, was when I started opening up a little bit more. So yeah, I agree. It's definitely nuanced. It's something that's right. Not as easy to just say, oh, just do this or just do that. But there are absolutely different things to consider. And I think in one way, it's like this whole discernment for people like us is more about navigating emotions than choosing like a way of life, which kind of stinks. Doesn't seem like it should be this way.
Absolutely.
I wanted to go back to something that you said too, there, that the early relationships you had, though they weren't meant to be, it doesn't mean that they weren't supposed to happen. I think that's an awesome way of saying, and I would totally agree in my relationships as well, like the ones that didn't work out, they obviously weren't meant to be, but I was glad that they happened. So, you know, I think it goes for both of us when we're recording this, we're not saying that, oh gosh, you know, we really missed the train on that one. Like, because we were anxious, we missed our vocation. We're not saying that. Some people, I think, get that idea. Most of the time that's very false, but I think it is important to say, and I would just relate to what you said before and totally agree with it.
Yeah, it can be really tough, but the more experience you get with it, like an awareness, I think, is just really, really huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the awareness that you had that, you know, at the root of this, like your counselor said, that knot in your stomach, that stomach ache was really a trauma response that was pointing back to your distrust of men, which had to do with the breakdown of your family, your parents' marriage and your family. So that awareness, I think, goes so far in helping kind of talk yourself off the ledge, thinking that, oh gosh, everything is going to hell. Like, this is not good. Like, this relationship is over. Just kind of catastrophizing, I think that's a word, this whole drama that's unfolding inside of you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I think, you know, with people like us, we have a lot of fear. Obviously that's what we're talking, you know, anxiety. And so the idea of dating someone and then breaking up sounds just like the end of the world. It's too hard. I can't do this. At least that was my experience. Like, I just remember the idea of the relationship ending was just, I just felt like, oh my gosh, like I can't do this. I can't handle this. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be a sure thing, and that's just not how life works. So it was really that navigating that fear can be super, super tough. Because it just feels so risky. And especially if the other person doesn't have that experience, you kind of feel isolated a little bit in your anxiety, in your fear about the relationship. But I remember, you know, my therapist kind of encouraging me and saying, you know, and if you break up, this isn't it. Then there's more to the story. Like, that person wasn't for you. Like, it was, there's more to your journey than just the break. Like, the breakup won't end everything. You know, there's more that comes after it.
Yeah.
But it can be really overwhelming and alarming when you're entering a new relationship to accept that reality of, yeah, like, this might not work out, and that will be painful.
Right. No, it is such a difficult thing, just kind of anticipating that pain. Because I know for me, I was so loyal in my relationships in the sense that I almost treated it like a marriage. It was like, I can't walk away from this person. Because like you said, in a way, it almost felt like a divorce, because I, you know, just was thinking, oh gosh, I'm repeating, you know, what happened in my parents' relationship, and I didn't want that. And so there, you know, there might even been times in some of my relationships where I maybe should have stepped back sooner or broke things off, and I didn't because of that fierce sense of loyalty. Like, no, I will not repeat what happened, you know, in my parents' marriage. I'm not going to give up on this person, like, you know, mom and dad did on each other. So I think that can cause discernment issues too, because we maybe hold on to something longer than we should, which is really difficult. So I definitely relate to you just like dreading a breakup. But I think what your, you know, counselor said is just so helpful. And even playing out that ending in your head, I found can be helpful. Just thinking through, okay, this could end. Then what? And thinking of the then what, for me, that has helped me kind of overcome a lot of the fear, because then I realized, well, you know, it will be painful. It is scary, but I'll survive and I'll be okay. And this isn't the end of the world, like you said.
Yeah. And I think after dating a couple guys and it not working out when I was dating my husband, I had a sense, it was still scary. It was still really hard. But I do remember having that sense of like, I've been through some really tough breakups and it sucked, but like, I got through it, and I think I'm stronger because of it. So, and grew from that experience. So it kind of gave me a sense of, I guess, security in a sense that I had endured that, and, you know, and I was here and I was okay.
You made it. No, same, yeah. Same here. And kind of on a little bit of a different note, I just wanted to say to anyone who maybe is comparing their experience of a relationship to someone who comes from a very intact and secure home, don't do that. I did that, and I just think it's really unhelpful. Again, ultimately, there should be peace in your relationship, but you might have to fight through a lot of crap to get there. You know, just like Miranda and I are saying, you might be dealing with some serious anxiety issues or depression or just struggles with uncertainty and all that. So if you're looking at yourself and saying, well, I am struggling with this, and this friend of mine is just like on cloud nine in her relationship and his relationship, and I just don't see, something must be wrong with me. And maybe something is. And that's basically what we're saying here. It's like, don't compare like apples to oranges. Don't make it harder on yourself than it already is by saying like, well, I'm not having that same experience as someone else. And I think at some level, I just want to say that I think everyone has some anxiety in relationships, that there's, like Miranda was saying, there's a lot of uncertainty just by the very nature of a dating relationship. But I think it is important to give yourself some extra grace and not expect your experience to match the experience of someone who comes from a very secure, intact home.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that was kind of a challenge in my dating relationships, that the guys I dated, you know, were very blessed in that they came from really beautiful families that were intact and secure. And so it really was a challenge for them to understand, to step into my experience of brokenness and, you know, the woundedness, the anxiety. Yeah, it definitely was tough. And I think even in marriage, you know, if you marry someone who comes from a very different background, you know, your worldview is just totally different. And I think it's, you know, can be mutually, you know, it can be healing for you to be with someone, you know, from a secure home, but it can also be challenging.
Totally. I had the exact same experience. I think every girl that I dated came from, same as you, like came from a intact family. And so it was difficult for them to totally understand where I was coming from. And I remember, I think, having similar conversations as we're having now and it not going so well, because them thinking, well, wait, you feel anxious about this? Well, then maybe it's not meant to be. Where in reality, you know, there was a lot more underneath the surface. So yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Even in marriage, it can be really difficult to kind of wrestle with all this and explain where you're coming from without it seeming like it's a major issue. It's just something that people like us have to roll with, which is unfortunate, but it is the way that it is. Another thing that helped me was grounding techniques, especially when I felt so anxious. So for some of you who are familiar with psychology, you know grounding techniques, where it's basically using your senses to kind of pull you out of your head, where, you know, anxiety a lot of times ends in like racing thoughts, right? You just get stuck in your head so much. And so you really need to use your body in ways that will get you out of your head. And so for me, sometimes it was as simple, especially if I was in the midst of like a situation where I felt it with the girl or girls I dated, I would even just touch a table or something. And, you know, if you can imagine, I'm doing this right now with my desk, you can imagine just like running your hand up and down the table or grabbing it or whatever, just getting out of your head by using your senses. So that's another tip for you guys listening. If this is something you're dealing with, give that a try. And you can do that with all your senses, whether it's your sight or smell, whatever, you can use those grounding techniques. Again, just like it sounds, it kind of brings you down to reality, because in our heads, we can kind of go crazy. We can think up all these different scenarios, think of all these different problems, which may or may not be there. And so it's important that we stay objective. And that's where getting other people involved is helpful too. But these grounding techniques I found to be really useful. Have you, Miranda, have you used stuff like that?
I think that's still a struggle for me. I think I've learned a little bit about, you know, kind of the practice of mindfulness. And one of the tactics that they encourage is using your physical senses to ground yourself. I think I still wrestle with that some. I think that when I'm like, something triggers me, triggers my fear, it's so intense. You know, the physiological response is so intense. And then also your brain is just like, it just takes over, and you know, there might be like, I might go, you know, 8 minutes without saying anything, but my mind is going in a million different directions and taking me down a lot of rabbit holes that are not good and not healthy. So I think that's still more of a struggle. I think what has helped me more has been just vocalizing it, of saying, yeah, like I'm spiraling right now, you know, and just the act of putting it in words kind of stops me in my tracks a little bit and helps me bring me out of that. But I think if you're able to use the grounding techniques, like, I think that that's a huge tool that can be super powerful. It's just a matter of, I guess, practice.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. So if it works for you guys, maybe give it a try. See if it works for you. And if it does, use them. If not, there's might be something else out there that can help you. And hopefully some of our content has, you know, directed you to those different things. Miranda, one other thing on this topic is just the desire that we have for 100% certainty. I've noticed this trend in people from broken families that we just desire that certainty more than other people. And certainly some of this is like a temperament thing, personality thing. Some people just want more certainty. Some people are okay without as much certainty in life. But I think, especially when it comes to relationships for people who come from broken homes, we really struggle with this. And what I've seen is a lot of people like us, they end up just being really stuck in life and not moving ahead in relationships because they're looking for that like perfect fairy tale ending. Just they want the right person. They want to know that it's right and they want to have no problems or feel no anxiety. And man, that sounds great, but I've never talked to anyone who's had that. So I think it's important that we kind of acknowledge that this is a struggle for people like us. And I'm interested to hear your thoughts, especially like, why is that? Why do you think we struggle with this so much?
I think, you know, we've experienced the fallout of what happens when things don't work out and how painful it can be with marriage. And so we're traumatized, you know, we want to avoid that pain at all costs. And so it becomes a very, very, fear is a very powerful motivator. And I think when it comes to dating or making big decisions, like we don't want to be burned again, especially, you know, because we've experienced it in such a deep way. Yeah, we want to avoid that at all costs.
So true. And the one thing I would add as well is I think I've noticed this trend in people who come from broken families is that we desire that 100% certainty because we feel like we have no safety net. We have no backup. We feel like there's no one there for us. So many of us just feel so alone when our parents' marriage breaks apart, our family breaks down. We feel like we have to just figure life out by ourselves. No one's got our back. Even if maybe they do have our back, if something bad were to happen, we feel like they won't. And so we end up just going through life, just kind of looking out for ourselves. And so I think that's why these decisions, especially big decisions like a relationship or a vocation, can feel so scary. And we want so much certainty, which can leave us feeling stuck because we just feel like we have no plan B. We have no safety net.
Yeah, we feel like no one's got our back, that we have to, we can't mess up. We can't afford to make a mistake. So we're extra cautious, we're extra risk averse. And I think there are statistics that children of divorce like just don't take as many risks as, you know, both in relationships, but also in life in general. We just tend to be more cautious. We tend to watch our step a lot more. And I definitely find this to be the case with myself, like even small decisions. And I think we have kind of a couple sections on decision-making in the book, but things that shouldn't be a big deal, I ruminate over a lot more than is appropriate because I want to make sure this is right. And so I definitely think that that's something to be aware of.
Absolutely. It's a real struggle and it will hold you back in life. And not only that, it will just leave you with a ton of regret, I've realized. So I think it's really good to surround yourself with people who will push you to take risks, like good risks. But also to just remember that if you do fail, what happens? That's kind of the way to, I think, to overcome so much of that fear is just mentally to go through that exercise of like playing it out. Like, okay, if I do fail, what happens? How bad is it going to get? And in some cases, it might be really bad. Then you can think, okay, if that happens, what am I going to do to recover from it? And then also a third question, this comes from Tim Ferriss. He had this little exercise to kind of navigate your fears. You should also ask the question of, well, what can I do to reduce the chance that it will fail? And so again, the questions are, okay, if this fails, like how bad is it going to get? What can I do to mitigate those risks? And then if a worst case scenario does happen, what do I do to recover? And so if you think through those and give that some time, what I've found is it kind of takes the wind out of the fear and it makes it much more manageable to go through and take that risk because in the end you can see, well, it's not as scary as I thought.
Absolutely. Just putting it out in the open and either, you know, like you said, reasoning through it on your own or, you know, maybe taking it to someone else again, it makes it so much less scary and you realize, okay, like the end result of this, even if I fail, is most likely not catastrophic, is most likely not unfixable. There's very little that can't be repaired in some way. And even if it is something that, you know, maybe you can't undo, it is something that you can, you know, have a contingency plan for. So I think it's really important to kind of examine that fear and like dig a little deeper, and instead of letting it dictate, you know, because it's so loud and it feels so strong, you know, kind of ignoring that a little bit, pushing it to a side a little bit, which can be super tough, but then putting it aside enough that you can examine it a little bit closer, because a lot of times, you know, the fear is just fear and it's not really in reality.
It's so true. Miranda, thank you so much for your time. It's been a great conversation. To everyone listening, we really hope this has been helpful for you. And in the outro, I'll give you some more info on how to pick up the book if you'd like to. Miranda, thanks again.
Yeah, of course.
I really hope that was helpful for you. One question for you to think about after this episode is over is, how has your anxiety or your uncertainty held you back from good things in your life? How has it kept you from discerning or making decisions about your life's calling or maybe relationships that you've been in? And most importantly, what are you going to do about it? What's your plan to overcome it? Give that some thought. Again, you can get the first chapters for free from my new book, It's Not Your Fault, A Practical Guide to Navigating the Pain and Problems from Your Parents' Divorce. Just go to restoredministry.com/books, enter your name and your email. We'll send you the first chapters for free. Again, restoredministry.com/books, or just click on the link in the show notes. The resources mentioned are in the show notes at restoredministry.com/53. Thank you so much for listening. If this has been useful, feel free to subscribe. But most importantly, if you know someone who's struggling from their parents' divorce or their broken marriage, share this podcast with them. It's definitely going to help them as well. Always remember, you are not alone. We're here to help you feel whole again and become the person that you were born to be.